Yeah. Remember the clapper? Clap on, clap off.
Did they call it a clapper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember clap on, clap off. I don't remember the...
Clap on, the clapper is like a sound switch.
That's right. A light switch that turned on.
It was Alexa.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd still prefer that sometimes over Alexa, turn off the lights.
Exactly. Because the clapper didn't necessarily listen. It just heard.
Right. I hear you.
Yes, indeed. Justin throwing out the Markisms this morning. I like it.
Like I say. All right. How are you this morning?
I am well.
You are well.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Me too. It's a nice, cool, quiet fall morning again.
Yeah. It's dark out, of course, now, but the moon was just bright.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and the stars. It was this morning.
Yeah,
just to see the stars and, still a neat time of year.
Do you think people get tired of us telling us about the day?
When it's 2 weeks later.
Right. I'm sure it was a great moonlit morning.
Oh, I remember that morning.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
But you know what it reminded me of this morning? It reminded me of Saturday. You did a nice job leading the discussion, I guess I'll call it.
Thank you for
the CR thing there, and it reminded me of that of when we talked about the Serenity Prayer.
What
comes to mind? I could put it out there for the audience. When you think of the word serenity, what comes to mind?
As you said that, the birds started chirping. I was like, well, that comes to mind.
they had answers. What about for you, though? What image, person, place, thing?
Well, right now I can't, because you tied it into my head, but I can't get that picture of the moon kind of going through the trees.
Oh, wow.
Kind of lighting up, like there's a little spot over there.
Okay.
In between the trees where it's like, where's the light? Oh, it's the moon.
Yeah.
Because I could see light kind of casting into the woods from our porch lights.
Okay.
This way.
Right.
But then there was like light behind it.
Sure.
For a second there, I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
I hadn't registered yet. And I was like, whoa. And I looked up and the moon's crazy bright.
Sure.
But yeah, kind of that moonlit forest floor.
Yeah.
Definitely has a serene feel to me.
No doubt.
How about you?
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, I'll routinely think about it. Like when I think of serene, it's like some mornings when we're doing F3, you know, you look.
I never once.
I didn't think about it, but it's like.
Once did I think of serenity while doing F3. But this is why Mark. This is why we're polarized. I'm sorry. Carry on.
No, it's a great. I appreciate that perspective, but if in all honesty, it's before F3 typically, and we're right there at the mouth of the Cape Fear River.
Yeah,
and some mornings you just look out there, and that water is flat.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what comes to mind. That's serene. And I think about it in that context. And as I've thought about a little more with people, you know, it's like if that body of water could talk, you know, to tell of the history, you know, there's a depth, you know, it's not because, and I think serene when it comes to mind, it's like, you know, it's not that it couldn't be tumultuous.
Right.
But in this moment, you know, it is serene. And there, because there's a depth, in other words, a mud puddle I wouldn't think of being serene.
Yeah.
You know, because it just can't have the ability to be tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
But in opposition, polarizing, if you will, you know, in that moment, it's serene. And I think about that in the context of, you know, people that I respect, you know, who have had, you know, their turmoil or their strife, you know, their tribulations, if you will. And yet they have a sense of peace about them, you know, that isn't, you know, flippant or, you know, just kind of. So, yeah, that's typically when I see, you know, a large body of water or something like that that's flat, you know, I tend to think of serene in that moment.
Yeah, I think prior to the thing about the moon, that would have been my more like for me, the picture of being out on a dock, by a lake early morning, you know, dusk time, and you see, you know, a few ducks playing, but for the most part, yeah, there's no ripples. It's just kind of, maybe a little foggy, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. That to me is certainly a picture of serenity.
Sure. But. Yeah. What about in people? And when you think of a person, what would make you think of serenity there?
Yeah, that's maybe some of the same characteristics.
Sure.
You know, a calmness.
Sure.
You know,
okay.
A slowness.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
A
reflective.
Mm-hmm.
Not pensive.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reflective.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I think also thinking about context, like a person with serenity, I can see kind of sitting, taking it in as stuff is kind of flying around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
And kind of processing and taking it slowly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus
freaking
out, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, that would, I happened to be reading this morning about, you know, Jesus, you know, flipping the money changers table, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, all of what he did with desire, you know, and even in that providing calm, you know, I'm sure that's kind of what I see when you know, when you mentioned that, it's kind of that ability to walk through the circumstance without having to run just because others are running.
Yeah, he was the perfect example of that in so many ways, right? Like,
like
even the story where he calmed the seas, the storm, because, you know, like he basically turned a storm into serenity.
Yeah.
The story starts with the whole crew freaking out because the storm is that bad. And these are seasoned sailors, right?
Like seasoned
fishermen, right?
Sure.
They've seen some seas and this one's got them freaked out, you know? And they go to find Jesus and he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's serenity. It's like, I know the outcome of this storm and it's not keeping me up.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, when Lazarus, you know, was on his deathbed to the degree where it was imminent, like he was going to die. And of course, everyone knew Jesus could heal Lazarus, right? And, you know, the friends of Lazarus, friends of Jesus came, found him in this other town. He's in freaking out, right? Same thing, storm, it's raging, it's whatever. You need to get over there and, you know, heal him, like if you care about him, because we know he's your good friend. Like they had a really close relationship according to the Bible. Like they were friends, you know. Like if you want him around, like you got to get there now and heal that guy, you know.
Yeah.
And Jesus, the Bible says, I think in the King James says tarried 3 days.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. This idea that same thing. It's just a serenity that says I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not swayed by the storm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think about it in the context of when he healed the woman with the issue of blood, even, you know, it's, he's going off to, heal Jairus's daughter, you know, and you know, and it's like this whole crowd is around him, and it's like, you know,
because Jarius is a big deal, right?
Yeah, Jarius is a big deal, you know, and you know, the lady reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment, you know, and it's like he says, "Who touched me?" in this crowd, you know, and all the disciples are basically saying,
"You're crazy, crying out loud,
who didn't touch you?"
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yet he was able to say, "No, there was something different." Yeah. And yeah, I mean, so
he's
yeah,
in tune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good word for it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just thinking through what you, that thought, like there's nothing serene about that situation going through a crowded market or whatever.
Yeah.
But to have some sort of internal serenity that can feel the, you know, the vibrations of the string, right?
Sure.
Across all of this. I don't know. I just think of it in terms of, you know, you asked about what good vibrations were or good vibes. That's what I think of. Like something happens way over there. And it's like, I felt something. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like that Jesus had that connection because of, I guess, because of that serenity, you know?
No doubt.
I mean,
yeah.
Making that connection. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
And it's interesting as we talk about serenity, because I think our culture can look at it as its own thing, you know, like a Zen moment, if you will,
right.
You know,
like
good
a separate moment,
like it, like its own entity, you know, and that's where I appreciate, you know, as we talked about the Serenity Prayer, how, you know, it starts off with God, you know, because serenity isn't designed to be our God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that we are
an end goal.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's relationship with God, like through Jesus Christ, that we have the ability to be serene. And, you know, it's just, it really makes me think about that polarizing dynamic of, you know, how we can be swayed back and forth and, you know, double-minded at times. And yet we have this opportunity to be serene. I don't know if you'd consider that the other end. I would consider it the other end of double-mindedness. But, you know, in that ability, well.
Well, they seem mutually exclusive, even if they're not the other end.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting, and you know, we can kind of talk about the prayer itself, you know, Serenity Prayer, as far as that difference between, you know, control and, you know, just that ability that I don't have to control, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's where, yeah, understanding that, that I can control some things and there are some things beyond my control, you know, that's where we can find that peace and knowing the difference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's since Saturday, you know, that's a little more of what I've been wrestling with in that.
Yeah.
In that context.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We should, Mark, you should read the Serenity Prayer for those who don't know what the heck we're talking about.
Do you have it up? I didn't, yeah. I
do.
I figured you probably,
Is that big enough?
Hey, nice job. I appreciate that consideration. So yes.
Is it?
It is. Okay. It is big enough. Thanks. Nice job. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. That's Reinhold Niebuhr. So yeah, I gotta give the guy credit for the penning of that.
Yes.
But so yeah, what as you think about that balance, if I may,
between knowing what I. But between having the courage to change the things I can.
Yep. It's the other way. Don't start with the things you can control.
Right. Accepting the things I cannot control or can't change.
Yeah. The courage to change the things I can. Which
and the wisdom.
Yeah, but which side would you say you tend to lean towards?
Oh, man. Well, I talked about this a little bit Saturday, but there's this correlation as you become what I call a competent Christian.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm.
And where the more competent of a Christian you become, in other words, I do my Bible reading and I help people and, you know, my tithe or whatever it is, like all kind of
you got
all
your
the,
works all in order.
Yeah, exactly. You've figured out the right system that you're supposed to do and you kind of do that. I feel like, and you've seen fruit from those things. It's sure. not just empty yeah. work. Like it's actual fruitful work. But the problem with that is the more we see a correlation between me doing the right things and then good things happening, the more I think we tend to think, well, then I should do the next right thing to make this next good thing happen. And so as a result, I feel like I and many of the quote unquote competent Christians I know tend to fall more on the side of, you know, I need to have the courage to change these things. You know what I mean?
The doing of something.
Yes, exactly. It's just a matter of I need to step up to the plate. It's kind of like you always, there's always just kind of this, there's always more to do. You know,
sure.
And if you want to keep being that competent Christian, you know?
Yeah.
So that I would say I fall on that. I fall closer to that. And it takes genuine work to do the other two things.
Sure.
Pray for wisdom and know the difference and then accept when I can't change it, you know?
Yeah.
It takes intentionality for that. But it's still one day at a time, one moment at a time.
Yeah.
Like today, I know I'm not supposed to do something about that. Tomorrow flips over.
Yep.
What about today?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
What about you?
It's interesting. Because, yeah, I'm probably closer to that doer type thing, taking control. You know, I'm happy to, you know, have difficult conversations. It's part of my job. You know, at times to be able to initiate, you know, what might seem as a daunting conversation.
Yeah.
So it's
construction's a tough world, man.
Sorry. No, it's funny. I appreciate that. And but I was thinking about it, how often, you know, I'll see it in the couples that I work with, you know. I'll see that balance, if you will, between the one that's saying, I'm not sure about this. I think we need to pray a little more, because I think there's a value in that as well.
Yeah.
That we're not just doing for the sake of doing, because we need to, because I'm actually anxious and I just want to do because I have
to
a heart.
To relieve that tension.
Yeah. Even right or wrong, good or bad, I just want that done. I want it fixed. I want it resolved. So therefore, I'm going to take control. Yeah.
It makes me think of an analogy of, I won't name names. Certain people have this tendency or desire to like fix a house problem, right? Like roof's leaking or whatever. And not just certain people. Like this is a tendency many of us have, right? Where it's like, I just want to fix it. So they'll get up on a ladder and throw some caulk on it and be like, all right, I feel so much better.
I gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the caulk causes this water buildup issue. But now it's not leaking like it was. So now water's collecting in your roof system at some point. And, you know, over the course of years, your what do you call that? Rafter.
Yep.
Rafter, right?
Yep, sure.
Starts rotting.
Sheathing,
right?
Underneath the shingles.
Starts rotting. Because it's not so much moisture now that it's actually dripping through into your house, but it's enough that it sits. And you've now sealed it in to some degree, right? So I think of it that way, where it's like sometimes we rush to take action just to make ourselves feel better. Just to say, okay, the problem is fixed. I took care of it. No worries. Sure. And we can move on with our life. But without the correct intention to do it the right way, we can often cause worse problems, you know? So you made me think of that with the...
Yeah.
I don't know if that's where you were going, but it made me think of that.
That's exactly... analogy. Yeah. That context of being able to value, you know, okay, maybe this isn't something that I need to change right now. And maybe in some ways it's just as... maybe not courageous isn't the right word because that's used with the other, but, you know... it's just as faith-filled to be able to say, okay, maybe now isn't the time, and let's seek God on this part. And I think that is a part, you know, where when two individuals, or even a single individual from that matter, is able to recognize my tendency to do one or the other, and I'm able to do the one that I'm least comfortable with. I think that is that beginning of wisdom, where I'm recognizing my tendencies and I'm able to do the thing that I'm not always comfortable doing. I think that's where wisdom, you know, growing in wisdom, that's where, you know, okay, help me to understand, you know, which one I need to do today.
Yeah.
In this context of things I can't control and the things I can.
Yeah. And one of the challenges, which I kind of presented to, is if you have a tendency towards being a fixer, right? To challenge you to pray about, you know, the balance there. To see if God's calling you to do more of the accepting and less of the courageous effort, you know?
Yeah.
And vice versa, if you're one who tends to sit on the sideline, maybe pray about whether God's calling you to courage to step up, or, you know, push through some codependence and not being willing to do or say or be something that you need to because of the codependence or whatever the reason is, approval addiction, maybe, whatever it is.
Yep.
You know, but praying for that third thing, the wisdom to know the difference for each individual, because we all, I think, fall more or less on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Competent Christianity or not. You know, some of us struggle with codependency or approval addiction, and it's much harder to do some things because it means we might,
ruffle feathers.
Ruffle feathers, yeah.
Sure. And yet, there is the other side of that, that, you know, that change, you know, changing the things I can, that might tend to ruffle my own feathers. Because change is a difficult thing sometimes.
Yeah.
And being able to recognize, okay, no, this is a change that I need to implement, you know, but I've honestly prayed about it to the point that, yeah, this is an area that I need to grow in or challenge myself. I have to, So yeah, it's been a interesting dynamic between the two as far as, okay, what's wisdom look like? And I think, you know, wisdom can have that, you know, people who have a general wisdom about them tend to be more serene. They tend to be able to say, okay, let's think about this in the midst of the storm, or let's pray about this, or, okay, we don't need an answer right now. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good. You make me think of so much of Proverbs, you know. A fool does X and a wise person does Y.
Yeah.
And X is always the frantic, quick, frenetic answer. And Y is always the calm, cool, collected, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can think of so many different proverbs. Like one example is like answering back someone who's, you know, saying something cruel or mean or whatever.
Sure.
And a fool will respond in anger and whatever, where a wise person will...
Yep.
You know, not say anything or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's in there somewhere.
I think it's slow to speak and quick to listen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only part that's quick is the listening, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to be slow.
But yeah, you definitely mean, because wisdom and serenity, I do feel, yeah, that's a good correlation, I think. And again, I don't know if they're the same, but they're definitely kind of like double-mindedness. Is that what you were saying earlier?
I spoke of double-mindedness.
Yeah, when I was saying that they're mutually exclusive, serenity and double-minded.
And wisdom.
No, I'm saying where those are mutually exclusive, I kind of feel like wisdom and serenity are mutually inclusive. Where if you have one, you probably have the other.
I hear you.
Does that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe not the same thing, but they kind of come packaged together.
Sure. You'll see them together quite often.
Yeah.
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 So if you want one or the other, you can also hunt the other thing. It might come, you know.
Yeah, you could see it, be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what was the other part that comes after that, initial aspect? Can you remember?
Well, I think that's one more.
Living one day at a time?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, we talked a little bit about, what is it, Matthew 6, where he talks about, you know, he feeds.
Yeah. The man of principle came to mind for me when you actually put that out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
As far as how, you know, initially when God was feeding his children, he basically said, hey, you know, I'm going to provide it, but it's going to come one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And if you try and do it for 2 weeks, it's just going to stink and grow worms, that kind of thing.
Or 2 days even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's Saturday.
That's right. Then you do get 2 days. But yeah, that was what came to mind. You know, I appreciated the Matthew part, but that was initially what came to mind for me, is that living one day at a time. You know, I give you the bread you need for today.
Yeah.
Don't worry about getting bread for tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you try and hoard what I gave you today, it's just going to stink tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, that's where sufficient is today, the grace, you know, that he gives us. This idea that it's not going to last for tomorrow, this grace you've been given to deal with today's problems, you know, there's no use borrowing from it for tomorrow, because it's not for that.
Exactly.
Same as the manna. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think about it in that context of when we are able to do that, today is sufficient. You know, I think we have the ability to minimize anxiety in a lot of ways. You know, if it's up to me to provide for my tomorrow, I'm going to tend to feel a little more anxious, because what about the day after tomorrow? And what about next week? And what about, and what about?
Yeah.
And
speaking of competent Christians, I feel like this is another area we get worse at the more practice we get at, maybe I'll say religion.
Okay.
Just to be fair. But the more we get good at doing all the right things, the less we're comfortable with giving today. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I guess it depends on if you're doing the right things for the right reason. But I don't know. I guess just scaling back a little bit and saying, I do feel like generally competent Christians do struggle with the day-to-day trust, intend to be thinking towards the next few days. And part of that's the wisdom, the grasshopper wisdom, not the ant wisdom that we're taught, right?
Okay.
You follow me with that, the ant versus the grasshopper. Prepared. Yeah, the grasshopper. This is Proverbs as well, but the grasshopper basically, right? Or is it just Aesop's fables? Maybe it's both. No, the Bible talks about the ant versus
the ant. It talks about the ant,
Yes.
That it basically prepares for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a king, but yet they move forward and, you know, prepare for the seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think
what's the grasshopper
there's wisdom
part
in that, right? But the grasshoppers, they don't do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, I do think the more we learn to be wise and good stewards of our time and our whatever, the more you do tend to think about those barns you need to build to hold the goods that you're getting in, right? To think of that, you know, that analogy we've talked about before, the parable that Jesus talked about with the man building storage barns for all the things he had planned, and kind of how that was a point of reference of how not to be, right?
Sure.
And yet,
you
the
foolish
Bible,
man, you.
Yeah.
You don't even know what tomorrow brings,
right?
And, you know, your life may be required of you. And
but there are also verses that talk about the wisdom of planning and thinking ahead. So it is a balance, and I think that's where the Serenity Prayer does such a good job of kind of encouraging balance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd say Proverbs more so that you hear that balance. I think, you know, I think of the, you know, so often it is that aspect of, you know, don't get too far ahead of yourself, because that's arrogance. You know, you don't know what tomorrow may bring.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's kind of where I come back to that. One day at a time, one moment at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting is this moment might be about planning my day tomorrow. And that,
I gotcha.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
But spending the rest of my day fretting about what I'm doing tomorrow, or, you know, or 2 weeks, or the barns I'm going to build, like that's where it becomes problematic. But if this moment is the moment that is for that,
sure,
that's the right thing to be doing in this moment.
I hear you.
Does that?
Yeah, I think there's a difference, and I like that the idea. There's a difference between planning.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, ideally, this is a goal that I want to go, but I still hold that in a way that's loose enough that I'm not, you know, controlling in that mindset to the point of, okay, I'm going to do this, and then this is going to happen, you know, and I'm going to do that and that and that, and that's going to happen. It's like, no, don't put all those eggs in that basket.
Yeah. So, and again, I like this part because it focuses us on a daily effort, right?
Sure.
But it even breaks it down to work because, you know, not every day is the same throughout the day either. You might have a good start to your day and then you get a phone call, you know, and now
no doubt.
Everything goes to crap in a handbasket.
There you go.
Right?
That's a Justinism.
It is. It definitely is. It's a mixture of colloquialisms.
There you go.
That's a hard word to say.
Nice job.
You try it.
I'm good with colloquialism.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parlor.
Parlor.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
It's a little practice.
You did great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is your day can go bad, right? Or it can go good. But sometimes we need to break it down even to the moment today. Let's do this serenity thing in this moment. Mm-hmm. I thought I had it on lockdown this morning when I did my prayer, whatever. But now it's like, I got crap in a handbasket. So let's find some serenity in that basket.
Yeah.
You know?
And as it goes forward, the aspect of not being in the moment, because I like, just personally, as I'm thinking about, you know, so often I do think the present or the right now is a gift.
Yeah.
I like that, that play on words, because so often we minimize the gift of right now in exchange for what I did in the past or, you know,
or the plan for
tomorrow. And it robs us of this momentary gift when we start thinking too futuristic. Yeah. And just being able to recognize this moment is a gift.
That feels very nuggety to me. I think I'm going to work on meditating on that concept.
Okay.
About just it really make, I don't know, just hit me right, you know?
Okay.
Especially as this time of year where I start to struggle a little bit sometimes, seasonal, affective disorder, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I know part of that tendency is to be looking towards the next few days and it's like, it's all the same. You know, I don't know. There's something about that where something tips over to where it's like, tomorrow's the same and it's enjoyable to, tomorrow's the same, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Or I like what you're saying. And I think that's maybe a tool that I'll try and embrace is to say, forget tomorrow. What's right now? Right now I get to be with Mark.
And there you go.
There's a nice breeze coming in the window. The birds are singing.
Yeah.
You know, and we get to talk about serenity. This is a good moment.
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about tomorrow or next Wednesday being the same, you know?
Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. Next Wednesday morning won't be the same. We won't have the same topic,
But you'll be sitting there. I'll be sitting here.
Yeah.
And these lights will be on and those birds will be singing.
Yep. And the sun will still be in the process of coming up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Although, when does daylight savings happen?
Oh, good point.
Anyway.
It's the end of the month. End of the October, I think.
Okay.
Round
so,
thing.
Yeah, so next week, it'll basically be about the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to what you're saying about being robbed. I think that happens a lot to me. Mm. Again, in that struggle, I think that's part of the robbery that happens, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heist.
Exactly. Yeah. You allow yourself to be hijacked to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so the next part.
Oh.
No one likes the next part.
Yeah.
Or the last part.
That's accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, correct?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, why can't I have peace without that pathway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We talked a little bit about that and how it's peace isn't always preceded by hardship, right?
Hmm. Well, I think it is the hardship that helps us to identify peace, even if it's not preceded by in that process, to be able to recognize. And I think that's where, like when I think about, you know, the history that the Cape Fear could tell, that's where that comes from for me, you know,
the depth that you were referring to. Yeah,
exactly. Where, you know, it's like, no, I've seen, I've seen some things. Mm-hmm. You know, that body of water has seen some things, if it could tell. It's not to personify anything, but you know what I mean? And I think, you know, people are like that as well, you know, in that ability to say, no, I've seen some stuff and this is
by comparison.
Yeah.
This is a good moment.
This is a good moment. Yeah. And it's okay. Peace. You know? Yeah. And even in the difficult moments, you know, it's like, okay, there's the storm is going to end.
Mm. Yeah.
And peace will come back. Because I do think at times our tendency is to, you know, think in such ways that say, well, this is going to last forever. Mm-hmm. You follow me? You know, especially in those emotional states.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm, yeah.
This is going to last forever.
Yep. Good and bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, valid point. Yeah. On the good part, I think, you know, we tend to, you know, catastrophize to a certain degree that this, you know, terrible moment is going to, the rest of my life is going to be terrible now.
Yeah. I just think about certain situations where people are so stuck emotionally. You said emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it's going, like they're in an argument or whatever, and this is life. Mm-hmm. This is permanent.
Yes.
Right. And then, you know, one sleep later and at the beach, everything's happy. This is life. Right.
Yeah.
Like the other life is done. This is the new one.
Mm.
And when we're not, I guess I would say emotionally mature, we can tend to do that roller coaster. The
roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if this is my new life, it's going to be happy like this, then of course I'm going to be doubly happy because this is like permanent, right? Like this is the best thing in the world. And then same thing when, oh, you're telling me this is life. This is terrible. This is the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And it accentuates every one of those humps, right?
Yeah.
In the roller coaster ride and elongates them, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, if there's some depth there that when the storm comes, you know, I've seen some things, been there, done that. I know what these can look like. This one could be worse. This one could be less bad, but I've been around, you know.
Exactly.
To be able to have some level of, I guess, serenity despite the storm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that peace that you can actually maybe borrow against, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That you know that this, you know, well, even living here, you know, each time there's a tropical storm out there, you know, you hear that murmuring that goes through the area, you know, and it's like routinely, I'm going to put that word out there, you know, routinely the storm rarely hits full on, you know, in that, but yet there's typically this thought that, oh yeah, it's heading our way.
This is the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting how, you know, different people view it differently, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Someone else mentioned this and I thought it was kind of funny too, where this kind of goes against your point, but
that's okay.
When enough of those happen, you know, you get a few years of duds.
Sure. Yeah.
And we all kind of go,
complacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get hit with the big one and no one put the boards on the windows. No one left town, right? Like, I feel like that ends up being the perfect storm is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear where you're coming from. Yeah.
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 So yeah, there's also wisdom in that. Go ahead.
No, there's wisdom in that. Go ahead.
In that recognizing what could be and.
Yes. Valuing.
Yes. Yeah.
What could be. What could still happen, but recognizing it may not happen.
Right.
And I'm okay either way, you know, because I guess the thing of it is, it's like, I remember a story, a fellow talked, you know, about a farmer that had a hired hand or something. And, you know, we hired him. He said, you know, I can sleep when the storm comes, you know, and from that perspective, you know, they had a big storm, you know, and and the farmer was up, but yet his hired hand was sleeping because he had basically prepared and had everything ready. Hmm. So he could sleep when the storm came because of the preparedness that, you know, he had provided. It wasn't about just doing something when the storm is coming.
Yeah.
It's about continuing to be prepared and keeping yourself in a disciplined state of readiness, you know, by your daily life.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But that actually reminded me of the second part. Accepting this world as it is.
Yeah.
Accepting the world.
Accepting hardship is a pathway to peace. Taking
this world as Jesus did.
The sinful world.
Yes.
As it is. Not as I would have it.
Yeah. That definitely describes your roller coaster from my perspective.
Mm.
You know, because in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
You know, so to be able to, and I think so often, you know, versus the roller coaster, when we can accept the fact that there's going to be hardship, there's going to be difficult times, we're not necessarily surprised when the difficult time comes.
Yeah.
And it isn't a terrible, awful thing. We recognize that that's what part of this world is. This isn't nirvana.
Yes.
You know, this isn't heaven. This isn't designed to be heaven.
Yes.
But it's part of this world as it is.
And the closer we get to Jesus, the more when those storms come, we have the ability to sleep through it, right? Like we have the ability to have an innate sense of serenity that says, there's something more powerful than this powerful thing, this bad thing, this whatever. Mm-hmm. And I ain't scared. You know, like, even if I get swept off the boat, like, I'm not scared. Even if I drown, I'm not scared, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we encourage that sense of faith that says, God won't harm me.
Ah, sure.
Right? Like,
sure.
And it's, certainly in that story with Jesus, he wasn't harmed, right?
Right.
Sometimes we place our faith and we say, that's the faith God wants me to have, is that I'm invincible with him. I believe that's misguided.
I hear you.
Because the invincibility you get with him is an eternal relationship with him that cannot be changed through any circumstance, including death.
Sure.
That's the invincibility you're granted.
Sure.
Short of that, we have no guarantees. We get some promises in the Bible about various, you know, principles and stuff like that that we can hold to. But we're not guaranteed anything beyond that eternal relationship with him.
Yeah.
So the invincibility needs to be the what Paul described, where he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by snakes, and he was it never shook his faith or made him doubt or... Because his belief in his invincibility wasn't in no harm befalling him.
Yeah.
And then when harm came, there's this abandonment that can occur.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
This betrayal of, I thought you would take care of me as your son, as, you know, this creature you love.
Sure.
And yet, look where we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's an unfortunate way to, it's a misplaced faith, I believe, to say
unhealthy expectation
won't harm me. I can pray that he won't harm me. I can ask that. I can have faith that he will protect me.
Yeah.
But I can also accept that if he doesn't,
right,
there's also goodness in that.
Sure.
And that's an invincibility to be able to say, if the storm comes, if I fly off the boat, if I drown, all of that is fine.
Sure.
Fine is the wrong word, but you get what I'm saying?
No.
All of
I'm
that
protected
is
protected.
Yes.
Eternally.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
The safest place is with Jesus either way, regardless of my,
And on top of it, when the storm is raging, I know the landscape's going to be different. So there is a level of faith we can and should have that says something's happening here and it's beyond my comfort and whether I fall off the boat or not, right?
Yeah.
And so with or without my comfort, God's good and he's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, we can cling to that.
Sure.
All yep. that's easier said than done. Just I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying that can be a issue we run into where we
yep.
we pray these prayers, we get to this place, we okay, God's gonna protect me, mm. you know, mm-hmm. and I won't have any harm or I won't have any discomfort's another one. It's like
yeah.
God never promised this lack of discomfort or a comfortable yeah. existence. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that in that aspect of sometimes we have unhealthy expectations
mm-hmm.
of how God is going to do or provide certain things. Yeah.
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 Taking the sinful world as it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not as I would have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is like the disciples look at the storm and go, why would you let this go on like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wasn't about correcting all the bad in front of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was very purposeful in his time here. He could have walked through towns, and as he walked through, they just all followed him.
Right.
And just their hearts were converted just by seeing him. I mean, like, There's no limit to his power. He could have done that. He could yeah. have kind of overrode, you know, our perception of free will and said, I love you too much to leave you in your junk, so you're coming. Sorry. You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just the amount of power there that we, but he didn't. He said, this is a sinful world. I'm here to redeem it through the plan that my Father created and
yeah.
set out from the beginning of time. And we're going to do it that way.
Yeah.
Not the way in this moment it looks like it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. And I think about it in that context of there's a tremendous amount of power in my ability to accept something for the way that it is. You know?
Yeah.
Because if I just try to think about something and it's like, well, it should be different. It should be this. It should be that. Yeah. You know? But when I'm able to say, okay, yes, you know, my father is an alcoholic, you know, well, when I come to an acceptance of that, you know, for what it is, then I'm prepared to be able to say, okay, that's what an alcoholic does.
Right.
And it's not that it's my preference, but yet once I come to that acceptance and I'm no longer trying to, I know I'm no longer falling victim to enabling, you know, this is what it is, but I still have this ability to choose what I do. There's a tremendous amount of power in that.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And I think that when I think of it in that context, you know, people are going to say mean things, you know, people are going to do different things in a sinful world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yet, if I'm able to recognize that, yeah, that's why Jesus came, because this is a sinful world, you know, then when those barbs come, or, you know, those flaming arrows to a certain degree come, it's like, I'm not surprised by that.
Right.
I'm not disappointed. I may be disappointed, but you know what I'm yeah. saying? I'm yeah. able to recognize that, okay, this is part of where I live right now.
Yep. This is part of the package deal.
Yeah.
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 Yep. We're like, we didn't sign up for that. Yeah, you did. You yep. were born into a sinful
There's
world.
Nothing to sign. There's nothing to sign, but yeah, you're here.
Like it or not. This is
Nobody
part of
the got deal. The opportunity to sign anything. So
right.
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That acceptance, the power there, that's pretty incredible. And CR, we talk about if onlys.
Sure.
Which is kind of shoulds, was what you were saying, but yeah. it's kind of that same idea as we get yeah. hung up on the preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the bad thing happens, you know, especially in insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting mm-hmm. different results, which is one of the key symptoms you should look for in your life if you're in need of, you know, some sort of what we call recovery, which sure. is really just healing, right?
Yeah.
But is this every time this thing happens, your natural reaction to it is thinking about if only it was different.
Yeah.
And that's... You know, yeah. like you're talking about your alcoholic father, for instance, yep. and, you know, he does another thing and you're like, if only he loved me the way that father loves their son,
mm-hmm.
right? If only he, you know, showed up to, you know, one of these public gatherings in a way that wasn't embarrassing to me, or mm-hmm. if only, you know, if only, mm-hmm. and we can get stuck in those, that if only loop where,
exactly.
the circumstance moves on, we move on, and then the circumstance comes back, and we're immediately back in the if onlys, and we're not focused in this moment, this day. We're focused on some non-existent other universe, not even a different day, not the future, not the past, a different universe, right?
Yeah.
Like that universe doesn't exist where your father's not an alcoholic, using this analogy, right? Like that, that's never, ever, I mean, right at this moment, right? Yeah. And the past too, like you're not changing this, because that universe you're envisioning is a father who had a healthy upbringing, never got addicted to alcohol.
Sure.
And as a result, was able to be the kind of father that he should be.
Sure.
That universe doesn't exist. Even if today, snap, gone. He's no longer an, you know, alcoholic or whatever.
Right.
That's still not the universe that exists today.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we get stuck in that alternate universe, which is a real shame, because this universe could really use us. You know?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No doubt. And then following that up,
trusting
that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. I appreciate the starter there, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's testing Mark's memory. That's great.
Like you say, once you, it's like the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge. Somebody starts off with I pledge, and typically you can follow.
Yeah, for those who don't go to CR, haven't been involved, like we read that at the end of every Friday night, like kind of wrap up the night. So it is very much Pledge of Allegiance for us.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, that's true.
No doubt.
That's good.
Yeah. What comes to mind there for you?
Well, I think one key word there is all. Right, trusting that he'll make all things right, because kind of going back to what we were saying, we're not promised perfection here or lack of problems. And so there, Romans 8:28 basically says all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't think it does.
What does it say?
I think it says God works all things.
Thank you.
Always
important. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good.
Because we can tend to think about all things working. Now it's God working all things
together. That's the supreme ingredient that doesn't work without that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the key word in that verse for me is the all.
Sure.
Right? To kind of tie back to this is something about all.
Yeah.
That requires a level of faith that I think a lot of us struggle with.
Sure.
All?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can name a lot of pretty nefarious things. Pretty
death,
terrible.
Cancer, you know, all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids abused.
Yeah.
Child pornography.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah.
All?
Yep.
All? You know, and that requires a level of faith. That is a stretch for any believer, I believe.
Sure. No, I hear you.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And again, I come back to that serenity and the wisdom that realizes quite often as we gain a depth to our lives, we can see how those circumstances have worked.
We start to have evidence stack up over the course of our life.
Yes.
Agreed.
Because even in those difficult times, we can see how lives have been transformed, you know, or circumstances ultimately are changed, you know, to where we're able to recognize, no, it's not necessarily all the things. Mm-hmm. It's God working and being able to recognize that and ultimately being able to trust in a sense of faith that says, okay, even if I have this in my life, or even if, you know, I've had this experience, part of that may be as I find my own healing, I may be able to help others find healing in that process by God's grace. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of
it's really good. And then in terms of the really nefarious things, like, I think sometimes we lose sight of, or it's very abstract for us to have this idea of some judgment day, right? Mm. That at some point judgment will be doled out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that sounds nice, but I want justice right now, and I want that bad thing done and gone, or, you know, justice done to where they paid the penalty right now. Because we can't fathom that kind of eternal judgment day, that like final thing. And it doesn't feel real to us. But the fact is, it's very real. So when it says he will make all things right, it's no joke. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there can be some serenity if you're able to believe that in faith. Because again, that's abstract. It's future. Yeah. It's truly a different universe, right? No doubt. But it's truth, you know?
Right.
So I think that can also help. So not only will he, you know, he can make good things out of bad and all that, but also there are some bad things that will be dealt with.
Oh, sure.
Right. And so there is justice that will occur. But if we...
Even now, in some cases, we will see justice even now.
Yep.
But ultimately, even if we don't, we can, you know, recognize it will happen.
Yeah,
in the future.
If every situation was met with the justice that we expected, then we wouldn't be able to go to heaven, because that justice would prevent that, right? Obviously Jesus paid the penalty, so that justice is covered.
I guess.
But we often expect 112% justice with everyone but us. Sure, for us, we expect that mercy and a little bit of leniency and a little bit of grace, right? Mm-hmm. So all things.
Yes, indeed.
If we surrender.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the key there, though, is that he won't just make it right if we surrender. It's that we'll understand it. He can, you know what I mean? Like,
we'll trust. If we can trust him and surrender, we'll see that process happen.
Or trust where we can't see, because we can see where it did. Kind of to your point about the depth.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That I may, and then it goes on, that I may be reasonably happy in this life. And I like that in that, of course, my perspective is this ability to think and feel. So I think about that in that reasonably happy, you know, to be able to think in such a way that it's reasonable and recognize my happiness may be momentary, you know, and it will come and it will go. My feelings will come and they will go. But ultimately, if I'm walking in wisdom, I'm going to be reasonably happy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And then supremely happy when that eternal dynamic is squared away. Mm-hmm. And I can trust him for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know in our little group, some people didn't like the word reasonably, right? Like, that doesn't seem like what God wants for us is only reasonable amount of happiness. And so we had a good discussion about that. And what's funny is we went to dinner with some friends that night, and some of them that were there was there. But we were talking about, you're talking about the Serenity Prayer, and someone in that dinner group who wasn't there, you know, there's only one thing I don't like about that prayer. It's reasonably happy, you know? And like, so it was really fun because I got to hear some of them present some of the things. They're like, well, actually we talked about that. And then, it was cool because that was one of the things I said, is I actually really have come to love that phrase.
Yeah.
Because for me, as a petulant baby human, I want supreme happiness right now. Give it to me now.
Every moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what I've recognized through the course of my life is that through the moments, hardship is a pathway to peace. So through the moments of hardship and difficulty is when I grew and I have a deeper, better relationship with my Father in heaven and everyone on this earth as a result of going through moments that are not happy.
Sure.
So is it reasonable to expect supreme happiness? Is it reasonable to say I should never not be happy?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, reasonably, it's almost like you hear it as barely.
Right.
Which is not what reasonably means.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
It means within reason.
Yeah, we tend to think in terms of that, more than I can ask or imagine,
yeah,
type thing comes, yes, to mind.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not that. It's just the ability to be able to recognize, yes, right now I can be reasonably happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when even that verse, him giving us over and above what we can ask or imagine, mm-hmm, comes with growth.
Sure.
And growth hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But we associate, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just misassociation, I think, or maybe just
unhealthy expectation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not being reasonable.
Exactly.
Right.
For a sinful world.
Yeah.
As it is.
Right.
Yeah.
However, at some point we'll be extracted from the sinful world. Yeah. Therefore, our happiness will no longer be reasonable.
Sure.
Because it won't be limited by the sinful nature, mm-hmm, the world that we're in, including my own sinful nature. And that's where we get supreme happiness forever with him in the next world, you know?
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we talked about, too, is like, again, one of the reasons I like this prayer is that every time you do it, it ends with that promise. So no matter everything preceding that line, you still have that.
Yes.
Which kind of goes back to what we were saying about serenity. When you have that inner sense of that thing's coming and that thing's real and that thing is supreme in my happiness, it can help put the rest in perspective, granting that serenity, right?
Yeah. And I like that in the context of it. It's not like we're that bird just flitting around trying to find happiness, you know. It's being able to recognize it's like it's not offered, you know, extensively, you know, unconditionally all the time here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Any other thoughts? That pretty well wraps the last verse up.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
No, yeah, I mean, it was a good time of discussion. I really enjoyed it. It was cool to hear other people's perspectives on, you know, on the various phrases. And I think it's fun to break things apart like that and really stop and slow down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that with something, the Serenity Prayer is a great thing to do that with. The Bible is, that's what preachers do every Sunday, right?
Sure.
You know, a lot of preachers, right? When they're, especially extemporaneous, right? Is that the one where you preach through? Which was the one where you preach through verses and kind of one at a time? I think that's extemporary.
Either way.
Yeah. But the point is, like, when you're going verse by verse,
that's
a great opportunity to slow down and talk about each individual word and what it kind of means in the context in it.
Yeah.
It's like you can really dive deep or you can go broad and.
I guess I didn't think about it in that terms of. What a word, but we're not comparing it. It's a serenity prayer. It's not how it's necessarily used in the Bible. I'd just be curious what the Greek word for serenity would be, know, in that, you know, but it would, it's the name of a prayer. It's not a verse that we're pulling out of to find the context for that. So
everything in there is biblical though, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's
a good prayer.
It is.
Maybe not as good as the Lord's Prayer because he was the Lord. But, if you're going to reflect on a prayer, it's not a bad one to be able to model some prayers after.
I've actually thought about it, kind of this concept that you're bringing up. It's like, this is not the Bible, right?
Yeah,
it's just some prayer some guy wrote. And yet, there's also, just like God preserved the Bible, right?
Sure.
For the sake of... It's his word, you know?
Yeah.
I believe he's also preserved other things that just man wrote, except I would argue that it was co-written, you know, in the sense that it was, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit and maintained by the Holy Spirit. So Serenity Prayer, I think, is a good one. It's been through so many recovery, you know, systems, including ones that aren't Christ-based.
No, I hear you.
The other thing that I think of is like Amazing Grace. The hymn, hymns are falling away, and yet that one will never be gone, right? I can't imagine it would ever disappear from culture.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I'm hearing where you're coming from in that context, and it was.
And I'm not trying to elevate any of this stuff to the level of the Bible, but I am trying to elevate it from just some dude wrote it. It doesn't matter. Well, if it didn't matter, God, it probably would have disappeared. It does matter. Sure. you know?
Yeah. And I think there can be, like you're saying, this preserving that the Holy Spirit does, you know, just because he can.
Yes.
In this context of, and I think in some ways, you know, what is true, you know, is maintained by God.
Yeah. You made me think of your phrase, truth is truth.
Okay.
Right. You've said that before.
I may
have said that. I can tell you the exact moment you said it.
Okay. I typically say all truth is God's truth.
That was it. Yes.
Okay. Thank okay.
That was Justin's version.
That's okay. I may have said truth is truth, but.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. If all truth is God's truth.
All truth is God's
then
truth.
All truth is truth. Right?
It sounds like one of those red herring things, you know, where it's a circulatory argument type thing is what came to mind.
Yeah. For me, it's more like it is what it is.
Yeah.
Truth is truth. Can't argue with it. No, I like that. Sorry. All truth is God's truth. Yes. That's the version that's better.
But I like truth is truth. It's
you're
like
coming around.
It's something you could say in a moment where right. you know
it is what it is. Truth is truth. Sorry, you don't like it. Truth is truth.
That's how I see it.
That's right.
Fair enough. No, that wasn't necessarily meant to be a signing off, but appreciate you sharing your perspective on that.
Yeah. You too. Thanks for ruminating some more on it.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
Yep, I was glad we didn't we hadn't talked about serenity before, so it made a good opportunity. So yes,
we're getting to enough episodes now that we have to look in the old spreadsheet of
just
our
to make
episodes.
Sure.
Did we talk about serenity? I don't see it in here anywhere.
Because I tend to think about them for some reason. You have that really nice script that you do. And it's like, so I'm actually very visual. It's like, I might have seen this before.
That scripty serenity.
Yeah, that scripty serenity. But it might have been Holy Spirit.
We're seeing the future.
It might have been Holy Spirit. It did kind of have that feel to it as far as...
It.
Yeah. Spirit. But yeah. Spirit, so either way,
serenity.
This is how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.